You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures before you in your pew. Pick it up and turn with me to an Old Testament scripture, the book of Job. The book of Job at the chapter 5. We're going to read together from verse 1 to verse 9. Taking your time from me. And let us not murmur it, but read it out clearly and distinctively. The 5th chapter of the book of Job. And verse 1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee. And to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, and suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up his substance. A low affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Ending our reading at verse 9, and God will bless his holy and infallible book to all our hearts. Turn with me in your Bible to the 5th chapter of the book of Job and to the verse 9. Which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Job chapter 5. And verse 9, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. I want to talk upon the numbers no mathematician can calculate, which doeth great things and unsearchable. Marvelous things without number. God who is doing great things. Notice this is not in the past tense. He is not saying God hath done great things, although that also is perfectly true. He says God is doing great things. This God, our God, the only true and living God, is doing great things right now at this present moment. If we had only eyes to see, if we had only ears to hear, if we had only tongues to taste, if we had only minds to be alerted and hearts to be changed, we would recognize that God is doing great things. But this act is not only in the present tense, but it is in the everlasting future tense, none can stay the hand of God or stop him in his divine operation or cause him in any way to discontinue his work. Although God was from all eternity, yet his name is always in the present tense. He is the great I am. Not the great I was, or the great I will be, but his name is the I am. He is ever doing great things. When our Savior was on earth, he said in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. All that God has done, and all that God is doing, and all that he will do, must be looked at in the present tense. They are his present acts. Look at the definition which the prophet Isaiah spells out, showing the miraculous and mysterious growth of Christ's church. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring your sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Please notice the graduation and accumulation of that text. God creates. God forms. God makes. Note the climatic expression in its finality. Yea, I have formed him. I have completed him. I have perfected him. My set seal is upon him. He is my finished work. I have set him on the highest pinnacles of my perfections and on the peaks of my mountains of holiness. Mark well, when God begins a work, he completes it perfectly. His workmanship glows with perfection. The finished creation of our God is set on the highest pinnacles of celestial perfections. God is always the completer of his own works. He gives them form. He gives them proportion. He gives them beauty. He gives them exactness. And this is true of all his handiwork. Moses confirmed this in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 4, when he said, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. God is a rock, and his work is perfect. What he said to the house of Eli, he says of all his works, both of mercy and of judgment. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. God never works in halves. He works in wholes. He brings all his works to the perfect finish. The foundation stone of mercy, he never leaves until he has set it as the top stone, the highest stone of glory. Hence the apostle calls him the beginner and the ender, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. It is never written of God that he began to build and could not finish it. Man began to build Babel, but he could not finish it. But God finishes all his creations. Everything he sets his hand upon, he completes, and he beautifies it all. All his works are everlastingly stamped with order, and they are sealed with beauty. And those members of creation which are not already perfected will one day shed all deformity, and they will appear in a glory which we would not have linked with them at this present day. No wonder the Lord Jesus exhorted Timothy to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When examining the first product from God's hand, it must be confessed, this hath God wrought. Numbers chapter 22, verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? God does not need a label fastened on his works to prove his handiwork. His handiwork always carries with it perfection. Many capitals spell his perfections, and many heralds proclaim his name. When God works, he doeth great things. Some men, in spite of all their boasted abilities, do nothing. Their handiworks are a mere trifle, a toy, a mere fancy. But when God works, you can expect a glorious work, for he doeth great things. The works of God carry the divine hallmark. They have the characteristics of his deity. His works proclaim God. Here in my text, there are four things about the works of God which speak aloud. And when we consider them, we have to say, This is the finger of God. Notice my text speaks of the great things of God. Notice my text speaks of the unsearchable things of God. Notice my text speaks about the wonderful things of God. Notice my text concludes with the unaccountable things of God. No works of mighty angels, no works of mighty men can ever have a fourfold stamp as this. No mere man ever reached the first summit of these four great things. No mortal clay has ever stood on the climax of unsearchability. No human has ever done anything really, truly wonderful. No flesh and blood has been able to count the countless mighty deeds of God. Listen to it. God doeth great things. The imprint of the Almighty Creator has left this, His creation, outside man's human reckoning. God's ways are past finding out. The works of most men are known above the ground. Some in one sense have done great works, but not one of those works is unsearchable. Man may seek to fathom the works of God, but he cannot do it. Man's own closest ways are not those which cannot be searched. They are never unsearchable. But God always doeth great things, and not one of them can be searched out fully by man. The Maker does not do little things, but he does great things. There is no work that is little, that is not great, because God is its Maker. He doeth great things. Oh, of course God makes small things, but what man says are small things, in God's handiwork, they are always great things. Even the smallest creature is great in comparison to man's greatest handiwork. The hairs of our head are little things. They are, however, not so small, for the great God takes them to his notice. And our Lord Jesus referred to this in Matthew 10, 29 and 30. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The Lord Jesus thus draws our attention to the lowest and meanest things and actions as objects that should be adored and reverenced. They are part of his doing of great things. There is a twofold greatness in all the works of God. There is a greatness of quantity, and there is a greatness of quality. In creation, some of the things made are described as great, because their quality rather than their quantity, and vice versa. Take, for example, the creation of the fourth day. There was made the great two lights. One the great light, the sun. One the lesser light, the moon. They're called great because of their quality. But the stars that were made that day were also great. But they excelled in their quantity. The stars also, says the book. Genesis chapter 1, 14 and 15. When God destroys evil things, in judgment, the word great is used. Revelation 15, 3. When God delivers his people, the term great is also used. Ezra 9, 13. How great? There's no parallel to the greatness of God's works. It is deliverance in all its glory. Such deliverance is beyond controversy. Glorious indeed. But God, in spiritual things, far excels his material creation. Salvation is described how? So great salvation. The salvation of the lost, the impartation of eternal life to dead souls, the pardon of sins, the purifying of our nature, our works as high above creation as heaven is above the earth. It is the ability of God to do great things. And because the ability is his, he can do great things as easily as he does small things. If it is in God's power to do such great things, then it is our duty to expect great things from the hands of God. It is God dishonoring when we dare to limit God. Why should we not, with noble scorn, baffle the greatest difficulties and cry out with Zechariah, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." But God also does unsearchable things. This word unsearchable is used of God himself. This means that no inquiry of man can uncover the understanding and wisdom of God. There is no searching of his understanding. The mighty acts of God are to be adored by believing, and not subject them to our puny praying. Hear these words of the great apostle. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways. His ways, his ways are past finding out. There are ways of God which God forbids us to search. It is in no way and at no time our business to do anything which he hath forbidden us. contemplate and wonder. That is the so far and no further boundary of what God says about his very own wisdom. Paul talked of those things which it was not lawful for a man to utter. 2 Corinthians 12:4. We have been warned. An old Puritan writer said it were more profitable for us and more honor to our God if we did search our own secret ways more and stop searching God's secret ways. There are truths that have to be studied and they have to be searched into. The vanity that we will be able to fully understand them is arrogant and sinful. We have not the capacity to find out the ways and the manners in which Almighty God works. Psalm 77:19 says, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Let us always remember that footsteps on water leave no impression or track behind them. God's ways in those things which he does in secret are beyond human finding out. There are works which our Lord does which can only be understood in their future uncovering in God's time, if it be his will so to do. For all things, unsearchable things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Joseph Carle, the Puritan divine, said, some think they could do things better than God had done, or at least that God could have done better. If they had power in their hands, things they boast should go thus and thus. What an insufferable indignity is this to the wisdom and power of God, that he whose whole works are unsearchable should be made accountable for his works to sinful men. The words of Augustine, when he was in deep meditation about the nature of God, as he walked beside the seaside, are right. He thought that he might as well attempt to drain the mighty ocean by using a little cockle shell to take the water from that ocean. And there are those whose spirits are so narrow and sinful that they think the cockle shell of their wisdom can empty out the fullness of God. But notice thirdly, God does wonderful things. How wonderful are those things which God does. The word wonderful is from the Hebrew text is from the root separated, disjoined, divided. Separation is the word. Different in character is everything else. Uniquely disjoined, separated wonderfully. God's works are separated from all our human knowledge and reason. God's wonderful works are separated even from our human sense, which at best is ignorance. We not only see their marvels, but their workings of such marvels confound. God's wonderful works are real. There are no imitation among the works of God. He alone doeth wonders. All the wise men of this world cannot do a simple miracle. But God does thousands of miracles every day in this planet of ours. Wherefore, it was said to the children of Israel, they should keep his Sabbath, and they should observe it, for it is a perpetual covenant. Let us not stay in the ordinary duties, but let us step out into the wonders of God. God, make my faith wonderful. God, make my repentance wonderful. God, make my change of life wonderful. God, make my love wonderful. Oh God, make my service wonderful. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Finally, God does innumerable things. What is the number of God's doings? Innumerable. Marvelous things without number. They're infinite. There are two infinities in the Bible. God is one and without number, and therefore he is infinite. But there is also uncountable things, and they are also infinite. There's a very great number, like the blood-washed inhabitants of heaven. After this I beheld, and lo, a great number which no man could number stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. In Isaiah chapter 10, a small number is such that a child may write. So an infinite number is such as a genius could not write. In Hebrews chapter 12 and 22, we read of an innumerable company of angels. In Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, go out and tell the number of the stars, if you're able to count them. There is something we must learn from this. One is that what God has done, he can do a second time. He can do a third time. He can do a fourth time. He can do 10 times, 10,000 times, 10 million times, 10 billion times, and 10 trillion times. His works are innumerable. Let us pray that soon in our province we shall witness God doing great things. God doing unsearchable things. God doing wonderful things. God doing innumerable things. And to him, and to him alone, shall all the glory be. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy wonders. Bring us away from the land of the dreary and the sad and the darkness, and bring us into the full light of thy wonderful doings among the sons of men. What a doing was that when you took us from the fearful pit and from a miry clay and set our feet upon a rock, establishing our way. And if there be one in our meeting today, lost, undone, unsaved, unpardoned, grant that they may call now on the name of the Lord, and God shall abundantly pardon them. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without a spot before the glory of his presence with exceeding power. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor and power and blessing, for he and he alone is worthy. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.